أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، والضلالة وأهلها في النار، أعاذنا الله وأجارنا من النار. Always on the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His protection from home and from isolation home, from deception and from being deceived. We ask for the Almighty to make this our comment, the interpretation and the exegesis, to serve as a source of treatment plant for the heart of whom He wills, as an era without being distorted and without being misunderstood. And inshallah, we are going to proceed with our tafsir session. If you can remember, today is our 22nd session, and still we are on those verses that are discussing regarding the issue of al-wasiyya, that is the recommendational testamental will. So we mention some of the do's and don'ts, or the do and don't in terms of the testamental will, that is the wasiyya, and some of the opinion of that is the five predecessors, opinion of the righteous predecessors, the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, and the erudite among the scholars of tafsir related to the qualification of giving testamental will. Who is qualified to give the testament? Which amount of money, the net worth, your current financial position would be eligible for the issuing of the testament? So we mentioned that, we mentioned the several opinions of the some of the ulama of tafsir among the righteous predecessors and among the Sahaba, like the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas through Jamal al-Quran, and the opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu, and the opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha. So, and the description and the interpretation was basically related to the verse 180. And there are some of the points that you would like to highlight much more related to the verse 181. Indeed, we have accomplished the exegesis. But before that, there was one of the questions that was asked related to that is the issue of frogs or the thoughts. So the one that wrote the question was asking that why is it that it is not allowed for someone to kill a frog or a thought? Yes, indeed, it is not allowed for you to harm the animals. And in terms of some of the animals, for example, that come from some of the phylum, or that is some of the there are some of the species of animals or classes of the animals or genus of the animals that are that is lawful and those that are that is forbidden. So in terms of harming the animals, one of the way of harming the animal is that is through killing. So there are some of the animals that you are not allowed to kill, like the frog. Yes, indeed, there was an authentic hadith which was narrated by Abi Dawood in his Sunan. Abi Dawood narrated that hadith in his Sunan, hadith 2871. Also, Imam al-Nasa'i narrated that hadith in his Sunan, hadith 4355, that is in Sunan al-Nasa'i. Also, Imam Ahmad narrated the hadith in his Musnad. If you check volume 3, hadith 453. The hadith was that there was a particular medical doctor, that is, we would say a native doctor or a physician, that he asked the Rasulullah alayhi wasallam related to the issue of producing, that is, the medication. He used to produce, that is, the medicine, the drugs. At that particular time, he was like a kind of a pharmacist. So he asked the Rasulullah alayhi wasallam and dibda regarding the frog, that is, how would he, is he permissive, that is it allow for him to use some of the animals like a frog in his medication. So in this case, the Rasulullah gave him a kind of recommendation, and the recommendation is that the Rasulullah warned him against that. He warned him against the use of that is such kind of animals in clinical trials. There are some of the animals that you can use in your clinical trials, like the albino rat, for example, or laboratory rats, for example, or like monkeys or such. And even with that, there are some of the ethics related to that. So since 1,400 years ago, the Rasulullah alayhi wasallam give a ruling related to the life of animals in order to save the life of animals, and one of it is the frog. Because the hadith was narrated also in that is Mishkat al-Masabih, the hadith was also narrated that in the book. The Rasulullah informed that physician, because the hadith was says that he asked the Rasulullah alayhi wasallam about that is the frog. أَيَجْعَلُهَا فِي دَوَاءٍ that is, will he that is, use it in the clinical trial? فَنَهَاهُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن قتله. And the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم warned him against that is killing the frog. So the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم warned him against that. He has forbidden that onto that particular physician. So the frog is not allowed to be used in clinical trial. Whether to use it in terms of that is a medicational production or producing the drugs, like for example in terms of in case of the pharmacist, or for example in terms of some of the clinical trials, for example, or some of the research. So as for the frog, it's a kind of honorable animal in terms of that is the issues related to the that is the religion. The Rasulullah has forbidden that to that particular position, that he is not required to use the frog in clinical trial. So that's why even these days, there are some of the animals that are specific that you can use in clinical trial, like the albino rat, that is the laboratory rats, and the monkeys or something, or such things like that. Or if the case is that is to the level, you can even that is use the human, but after you fast, those are that is a stages. So Lord Mr. and yes, it is forbidden for you to kill that is the frog. So I think the question is widely cleared and is widely answered. So let's go back to our discussion related to the tafsir. The verse 181, the Almighty mentioned, فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ. That for whosoever that changes it, for whosoever, that is what, whoever changes it, means whoever changes the testament, that is the testament, that is the testamental will. بعد ما سمعه, after he has had it, after he has had the testament, فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلون, the guilt is upon those who change it. Thereby the guilt is upon those who change it, meaning those who change, that is the that is the testament. So is it that changing of testament of the testator is forbidden? We would get to discuss on this issue. In one way or the other it can be lawful, and in one way or the other it can be, that is an action of guilt, that is it can be forbidden. So the Rasulullah also mentioned in one of the hadith related to the issue of wasiyya, like that manipulation of the wasiyya. We would get to discuss that. There was one of the statements mentioned by Imam al-Baghawi in his tafsir, in the book Tafsir al-Baghawi. He mentioned one of the, that is a scenario related to that. We would get to discuss on that. So فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَمَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ. Related to this ayah, there was one of the fairy tales. I would call it fairy tales because the story does not have, that is a concrete background. I'm yet to see that is a concrete evidence related to, that is the story. The story is about one man, one particular man, he has a son. He sent the child to study to a particular, that is a distance land, that is to another place in order to study, that is the Quran, or the religious teachings, the religious studies. So when he sent that child, after 10 years, the child was brought back to the home. So the father is trying to test him, to examine him, to give him a kind of examination, so as to know whether he studied better, he studied, that is, he really studied or not. So when the child arrived to the home, the father did not pose any question to him, but rather he says to him, he said to him, who? He said to the child, who? So the child kept muted. He was so silent at that moment. He don't know what to say. Then momentarily the father said, you should take him back. That is, take him back to the school. Take him back to the, that is, to the, that is, to the way of learning, because he did not study. Still he is an illiterate. So the child went back. For after 5 years he came back home. He came back. And the same question the father forwarded to him. What he says to the child is, who? The child refused, that is, the child did not, he failed to realize what the question the father is asking. He was not able to answer. So the father replied to them, this child still is an ignorant, take him back to the school. So the child went back and he studied for 5 years more. Then he came back home. That is the third time. So at the third time when he came, the father decided to test him, to examine him. He forwarded the same, that is, a statement. Who? Instantaneously, when he mentioned who, the child replied, فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِعَهُ فإنما اسمه على الذين يبدلونه. So when he mentioned this ayah, the father just decided to laugh. He was totally happy. He said, now I confirmed that you really studied. Mean now you are learning. All those things that you spent before, you are in the condition of learning. You do not encompass the knowledge that I want you to encompass. So this is the story that is related to this ayah that some of the ulama that are narrating, but I call the story a kind of fairy tale because I'm a kind of fairy tale because I'm yet to see a concrete background related to that story, obviously. Even though there are some of the ulama also that they criticize that is the story. Allah must end. It's just due to a kind of condition because related to the ayah, that's what we mentioned. The story, for example, I think you read the information. So, فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَمَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ. So, Imam al-Baghawi mentioned related to فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ, for whoever changed it, meaning أَيَغَيَّرَ الْوَصِيَّةِ, meaning he changed the testament, that is the will, that is the testamental will, فِي الْعِصَاءِ أَوْ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ, to those that the testament has been given to them, or to the favorite that the testament is due in their consent, أَوْ الشُّهُودِ, or to the witness, بَعْدَمَا سَمِئَهُ, after he had that. So بَعْدَمَا سَمِئَهُ, after he had it, that's how some of the ulama they gave the interpretation, as how we made the interpretation in literal meaning, after he had it, meaning the who, the pronoun is going back to the, that is al-isa or wasiyya. So but some of the ulama of the tafsir, they said after he had him, meaning the testator. So ay ba'da ma sami'a qawlu, meaning after he, that is had his statement. So meaning after a person listened from the words of the testator. So that's what Imam al-Baghawi mentioned. He said, I call al-Musi, the statement of the testator. وَلِذَلِكَ ذَكَرُ الْكِنَايَةَ مَعَ خَوْنِ الْوَصِيَّةُ مُعَنِّسَةً. And that's the reason why that is the attribute name, that is the attributed name was mentioned, that is was mentioned by the sense that al-wasiyya is a that is a feminine gender. For example, you mentioned about this. In some of the names, there are some of the names that contain the feminine gender and some they contain the male gender, for example. And we mentioned that if, for example, the gender is mujazi, then you can also refer that the name to a kind of male gender, or it can also take female gender. So al-wasiyya is مُعَنَّث مُجَازِ. We mentioned that in the previous session. So that's why you can say either al-Isa or wasiyya. We mentioned some of the references with the some of the books of the Tafsir yesterday of such ulama that mentioned that is al-Isa in the interpretation of wasiyya. So وَقِيلَ الْكِنَايَةُ رَاجِئَةٌ إِلَى الْإِيصَى. And it was said that that is the name attribute is returning back to al-Isa, that is the testamental will, meaning فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِئَهُ, whosoever that changes it after he had it, meaning the wasiyya. So but if you take the kinaya, that is to the damir, then it will be فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِئَهُ, whosoever that changes his statement after he had the statement from him. So, if we take the pronoun, or we refer back to the attribute pronoun, to the al-Isa, that is the testamental will, then it would be like the saying of the Almighty in the, that is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 275, that ayah which mentioned, فَمَنْ جَعَهُ مُؤِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّي, whosoever that an admonishment came to him from his Lord. So you see, رَدَّ الْكِنَايَةَ إِلَى الْوَعَظِ. ده هند الكناية إلى الوعد. That is what the kinaya إلى الوعد. The attributed pronoun is going back to the admonishment. Because فمن جاء أهو فوسأل it comes to him. جاء أهو normally he comes to him. So what it was mentioned موئذتم مقب به an admonishment that is from his Lord. So فوسأل it comes to him an admonishment from his Lord. So موئذة is supposed to be وعظ مقب for example. وإذتم مقب for example in case of that is مؤنس. So this indicating that attributed pronoun can be referred to مؤنس مجازي or مؤنس حقيقي or غير مجازي for example. So then if you give the interpretation that فمن بدله بعدما سمعه فإنما اسمه الذين يبدلون that whosoever changes it after he heard it. So the guilt is upon those who are changing it. So you see, meaning you give the attribute to the pronoun which is indicating the testamentary will. So that's one of the issues related to this. And also there is one of the that is one of the evidence related to that from one of the shu'ara of the that is shu'ara that is from the shu'ara that came during the medieval time and that is the Jahiliya era, for example. So فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلون. Imam al-Baghawi mentions that to this segment of the ayah, فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلون. Thereby the guilt is upon those that is upon the person that changes that. So والميت بريء منهم meaning the deceased is innocent of that. Meaning before the demise, if he issued the testamental will. So after he died, those that he has given the will, the testament, they change his ways. They change his will and testament. That is the testamental will. So in that case, the deceased is innocent of that. And Allah is Samiun Alim. And Allah is all listening and all knowing. لِمَا عَوْصَى بِهِ الْمُوصِي. That is a muṣī of that which the testator has issued as a testamental will. عَلِيمٌ he is all-knowing بِتَبْدِيلِ الْمُبَدِّلِ meaning with the manipulation of the person that manipulated that testamental will. أَوْ سَمِيعٌ لِوَسِيَّتِهِ عَلِيمٌ بِنِيَّتِهِ meaning that the Almighty heard that testament and so he is knowing regarding the intention of the testator and the intention of the person that is there to manipulate that testamental will. So that is one of the interpretations given by Imam Baghawi. And also related to the next ayah also, he mentions some of the significant interpretation. فمن خاف من موسى جنفا فوسأبى expect vice or injustice from the testator, that is from the one that the testament is giving to him. فأصلح بينهم and he reconciles between them. فلا إثم عليه. There is no wrong on him. There is no sin on him upon him. إن الله غفور رحيم. Really Allah is benevolent and the most compassionate. So meaning, should someone suspect bias or injustice on the part of a testator and then reconciles between them. Meaning he reconciles between the testator and the one that the testament is giving to him. So that particular person, he commits no sin. Because he reconciled. We know what Allah SWT mentioned in Surah An-Nisa wa Sulhu Khayr. In one of the cases that is related to the issue of that is a wife and husband. So whosoever that reconciles between wife and husband, then he did no wrong. And likewise in the issue of the testamental will, if you do that, no wrong on you. You did, there is no sin upon you because he reconciles. Wa Sulhu Khayr. So that's one of the issues related to this. And Allah Ghafoor Rahim, and Allah is the most benevolent and the most compassionate. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That is the next ayah which would be that we would discuss on the ayah. So related to فمن خاف من موسى جنفا أو إثما فأصلح بينهم فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم. As for Imam al-Baghawi, he mentioned that فمن خاف أي علم فوصئ هذا النوس. Meaning it doesn't mean that he is afraid. Normally the word khafa was coined from, that is the word al-khawfu, that is scary. So for man khafa, for whosoever that is scared, for whosoever that is scared, for whosoever that is afraid. But al-khafa huna, according to the interpretation of Imam al-Baghawi, he said, ay alima. Meaning he knows, for whosoever that knows, meaning he is expecting. It's like the saying of the Almighty, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. If you are scared, meaning if you are afraid that they will not establish the limitation and rulings of the Almighty, if you are afraid that they will not establish the divine rulings, which was mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 229. We'll get to that ayah also, would give the interpretation on that ayah. I think it would be maybe in the next coming Ramadan, in the next coming tafsir session, inshallah, if we are alive. Ay alimtum, meaning if you know, that is if you know, if you encompasses that you are expecting, mimimusin, from, that is, that is a Musin, the testator. So in this case, as for Hamza and Imam al-Kisai and Abu Bakr and also Yaqub, they recited Mim Musin instead. Instead of Mim Musin, they recited with the applying of Fatha to the Waw and also putting Shadda to the Saud, that is to the Saud. So instead of Mim Musin, so they recited Mim Wassin. That's why in some of the recitation that we are doing, that is in the beginning of any session, for example, those verses that we are reciting, if you would listen attentively, you would see that the recitation is in different qira'at. Like, for example, one of the ayah that we accomplished, لَيْسَ الْيَوْمَ أَنْتُ وَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The recitation that we did is almost around, that is around six qira'at also related to that particular ayah. And that's why even this ayah, that is at least two or three qira'at that was already, that is recited related to, that is this ayah. I think if you listen attentively with the previous session, you would listen, that is with qira'at, that is the way of the recitation. So as for the Imam al-Kisai and Hamza and Abu Bakr and Yaqub, they recited Mim Wassin. فَمَنْ خَافَ مِمْ وَصٍّ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا. بمعنى فَمَنْ خَافَ مِمْ وَصٍّ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Instead of فَمَنْ خَافَ مِمْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا. So that is the way of the recitation. So it's similar to the, like for example, the saying of the Almighty, مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا. مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا. So the Sa'd was given a shadda, مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا, which was mentioned in Surah Al-Shura. And like the ayah that was mentioned in Surah Al-Ankabut also, but it was said al-insan, وَصَيْد al-insan بِوَالِدِهِ up to the that is the end of the ayah. And also some of the other Qanghā, they have a way of recitation with the afla, that is the aflai sukun, that is on top of the waw, that is by aflai, that is sukun, and also by doing the takfif of the sad, like the saying of the Almighty, yusikum Allahu fi awladikum, yusikum Allahu fi awladikum. Bima'na, you have to recite فَمَنْ خَافَ مِمْ مُوْسٍ مِمْ مُوْسٍ. So يُوْسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ, which is an ayah which was mentioned in Surah Al-Nisa, verse 11. And also there was one of the segment of ayah which mentioned min ba'di wasiyatin yusi biha aw dayn. So you see, the wawa was given a school. So and the sadin was given a kind of that is takfif. So like that is the ayah was in Surah An-Nisa verse 12, which is attached to the previous ayah in Surah An-Nisa verse 11. So Jonathan, the meaning of Jonathan, that is a vias. I juran the train wa ululan an ilhaq, inclination from the truth. That is the meaning of al Jonathan. And also Imam Baghawi mentioned that wal janafu al maylu. That is janaf is directly proportional to inclination, meaning it is meaning that is al maylu inclination. Aw ithman, o ithman, that is a sin, that is mistake, that is a injustice. So Imam al-Baghawi said ay zulman, that is a operation. As for Imam al-Siddi wa Ikrama and also Rabi', they have that is a way of interpretation. They said al-janafu al-khat, that the meaning of al-janaf is mistake, common mistake. Well, ismu, and the meaning of al-ism, that is that was mentioned in this ayah, that is in the ayah, al-amal, that is for someone to do mistake willingly and intentionally. So that al-janaf is for someone to do a common mistake without his intention, not by intention, not by his own will. But if you do it by his intention, by his own will, willingly and intentionally, then that is considered as al-ithm. So فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. And he rectifies, he reconciles between them, so there is no sin on him. So Imam al-Baghawi mentioned وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي مَعْنَى الْآيَةِ, that they have different of opinion in the meaning of the ayah. As for Mujahid, he said, one of among the erudite ulama of the tafasir, he said the meaning of that is فَأَصْلَحْ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ, he said أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا حَضَرَ مَرِيضًا, as for a person whenever he visited a patient, he visited a sick person, وَهُوَ يُوسِي, at that moment he discovered that that particular sick individual, that particular person that is suffering with the infection, that particular patient is giving a testamental will. فرآه يميل إما بتقصير أو إسراف. But he realized that while issuing the testamental will, while issuing the wasiyah, he is inclining either by that is doing taqsir, that is by giving a kind of decrement in the wasiyah, أو إسراف, or getting to extravagance. Like for example, he had him saying that if I die, take that is half of the wealth and give to this so person. So you see, in this case, he did extravagance. Oh, he says, if I die, do not give anybody the share of my money, or give so person that is one third and give this person two thirds, for example. So whenever you get across this kind of issues, as a visitor, you visit the sick, that is the person that is sick. So in this case, whenever you had this kind of statement coming out from his mouth, so as for that is Mujahid, he said that whenever you get that particular person realize this statement from the mouth of the testator, وضع الوصية في غير موضعها, or he placed the testamental will in it, that is a position which is not its precise position, meaning he put the wasiyah in a way that it is not supposed to be. فَلَا حَرَجَ عَلَى مَنْ حَضَرَهُ أَنْ يَعْمُرَهُ بِالْأَجْرِ, there is no problem, no sin on the person that is present in his place, no problem, and that is to the person that visited him, أَيَّ عَمَرَهُ بِالْعَدِلِ, for him to recommend him towards justice. to command him that he should do justice, when Yahu Anil Janif, so as to warn him against Al Janif, that is bias, being biased. فَيَنْزُغَ لِلْمُوَصِّي وَلِلْوَرَصَ. So as to look over towards the condition of the testator and to the condition of the inheritance. So that's one of the issues. Because whenever the wasiya is given, first look towards the condition of the al-warisa, those that they will inherit the wealth, that is the family. And related to the condition of the testator. إنه أراد به أنه إذا أخطأ الميت في وصيته أو جار متعمدا فلا حرج على وليه. Imam al-Baghawi said that what Mujahid meant with that statement is that if, for example, that particular person, that is the deceased, before he died, he intended in his, that is wasiya, willingly just to betray or to harm someone from those that they will inherit the wealth. So there is no problem, for example, if someone recommend him إلى العدل والحق, towards that is justice and towards the facts of the truth. فلا إثم عليه, so there is no sin on that particular person. So you see some of the parents when they realize that they have a huge amount of money, but they have a kind of quarreling or a problem with their children. So they may decide to excavate the entire wealth that is to other people, to the third parties beside their families. According to Islam, they are not required to do that, even if they did that. So after they die, the judge, that is the judge, or those that they receive that testament, the witness would be able to change. That's why I mentioned earlier, remember دَلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِعَهُ, for whosoever that changed it after he had it, فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ. That's why, that is a جملة come, a sentence come اعتراضيا, for example. If you listen properly, فَمَنْبَدْ دَلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِعَهُ, then فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ, with an exception that the ones that is the people that changes the testament are the ones that they would, that is, they would be having the sin. So meaning those that change the testament through injustice, through bias, for example. But if the testator made the bias, he did the testament by being biased and being, that is, unjustful and that, so after he passed away, so the people will look over to who, that is the testament. If it is related to the decorum, he maintained the decorum, the etiquettes of the wasiya. He maintained all the moral ethics and the etiquettes of the wasiya. There is no problem, they can execute the wasiya on that. But if there is problem, they can reconcile, they can rectify. You get it? So that's what Imam al-Baghawi is mentioning in order to interpret the statement of Mujahid. فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ, there is no sin on him. أَيْ فَلَا حَرَجَ عَلَيْهِ, there is no blame on that particular person. إِنَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, surely the Almighty is benevolent and the most compassionate. And Imam al-Baghawi mentioned one of the statements from Imam al-Tahus. Imam al-Tahus also make mention that janafatun tawlijatu, that is the meaning of that is a janafa, that is a kind of, that is a bias through a kind of inclination, a kind of inclinational bias, not a straightforward bias. Wa huwa ayyusi li bani banihi, like for him to give, that is the recommendation to his grandchild. You read even what he meant with that, his, that is his child. The testator decided to say, if I die, give my grandchild this also amount of wealth. وَلِزَوْجِ إِبْنَتِهِ وَلِوَلَدِ إِبْنَتِهِ, or the son of his daughter. ولزوج ابنته او تو ذا ذات از تو ذا هازباند اوف هيز ذات يريد بذلك ابنته بوت وات هي مينت ويل ذات از هيز ذات سو هاف يو ديو تو ذا انتوكسيكيشن اوف ذا ديث ديو تو ذا كونديشن ذات هي از هيز انكونشس سو هي ايشود ذا وصيا ان ا بارابوليك موشن He issued the wasiyah upside down, reciprocally. For example, instead of him to say, you should give to my child so amount or something like that, then he mentioned someone else, someone that is not, that is expected to be mentioned in that. So as for Imam al-Kalabi, he mentioned that, كان الأولياء والأوصياء يمضون وصية الميت بعد نزوله. بعد نزول قوله تعالى As for the relatives, the favorites, and those that are receiving the testament, they used to carry out, that is, they used to execute that testamental will after the revelation of this ayah. فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِئَهُ Whosoever had changed it after he heard it, that is this ayah. وَإِنْ اسْتَغْرَقَ الْمَالَ كُلَّهُ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ لِلْوَرَثَةِ شَيْءٍ Even if the wealth would go into the testamental will, anything that was mentioned in the testamental will, they will execute that as such. Even if the entire wealth of that deceased, of that particular person would be spent, would be that is issued in that testamental will. So anything that he mentioned in that they would do it as such. ثُمَّ نَسَخَهَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى Imam al-Kalabi mentioned that then the saying of the Almighty erased the wording of this ayah by the mentioning of فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا Whosoever that expect bias or injustice from the testator. So in this case, There was one among the righteous predecessors by the name Ibn Zayd. Though Ibn Zayd, someone would be asking, how can you give a kind of evidence by the statement of Ibn Zayd? While Ibn Zayd, Imam Bukhari, that is, defamed him as a weak person. And also, Imam Ahmed also, that is, noticed that Ibn Zayd, Abd al-Rahman Ibn Zayd, was a that is a weak person in terms of hadith. Also, Ibn Hibban, Ali ibn al-Madini also. So Allah mustahil. So Ali ibn al-Madini defamed Abd al-Rahman ibn Zayd in terms of hadith, for example. Ali ibn al-Madini mentioned even he listed that is the brothers of Abd al-Rahman also ibn Zayd. They have some of the issues related to the narration of hadith, for example. There are many ulama. Yahya ibn Ma'in also noticed that Ibn Zayd was a weak person in terms of the narration of hadith. So that is the issue related to the other aspect of knowledge. For example, even if he is defamed on that, so as far as he has something to say in other field of knowledge, then there is no problem on that. And among the ulama, they welcome his interpretation. Abd al-Rahman ibn Zayd is considered as among the erudite mufassirin at that moment, but he is weak in terms of hadith. Even Ali ibn al-Madini, he was among the ulama that taught Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari narrated a lot of riwayat from Ali ibn al-Madini. He has some of the lapses also. Some of the ulama they criticized him. Some of the ulama even they are saying that Ali ibn al-Madini was a mubtadi, but he is not. To the most, that is appropriate statement. Ali ibn al-Madini was not an innovator. He was not an innovator, but rather he was among the erudite scholars. Even though he has his lapses, but we ask for Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to forgive him. The problem that he has, that is later in his lifetime, is that there was a kind of moment where he received some of the assistance of wealth from some of the innovators, some of the deviants, and it leads to the extent that he was not able to give, that is to tell them, like for example, to admonish them. That's what was mentioned by the ulama of that is Sira related to the Isra, that is related to the biography of Ali ibn al-Madini. But he was having a lot of accreditation. He was having a lot of accreditation by the righteous predecessors. And that's why even Imam Bukhari narrated a lot of riwayat from Ali ibn al-Madini. If you speak, Imam Bukhari will not narrate the riwayat from him. Ali ibn al-Madini was among the ulama of Imam Bukhari. But despite he has some of the lapses. So if you come across someone saying that Ali ibn al-Madini is an innovator, so you should not consider the word as an appropriate statement, for example, because he has to explain his lapses. If you compare his lapses and some of the goodness of his, you cannot incline him directly to that particular issue. But still, some of the ulama, they considered him that is to be a person that is he did a wrongdoing in that aspect because he received assistance from the innovators. So Allah understand. Suppose our ulama, they would get to realize this our situation when many people, so du'at, if not even ulama or mashayikh, they are receiving assistance from innovators. So how would they say related to this kind of people of our days, for example, or of our time? So Allah understand. In this regard, Ali ibn al-Madini has a lot of accreditation from the first predecessors. He was among the ulama of Imam al-Bukhari. So Muhammad Shahid ibn Zayd, Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd, he was having accreditation in terms of that tafsir, but he has weakness in terms of hadith, for example, in the field of hadith. So, as for Ibn Zayd, he mentioned that فأجز الموسي أن يوصي للوالدين والأقربين. In a moment where the testator fell, that is the person that is issuing the testamental will, he was not able to issue the testamental will to the relatives or to the parents. كما أمر الله تعالى, as how the Almighty recommended, as how the Almighty commanded, he failed to do it. وعجز الموسي أن يصلح فانتظى الله تعالى ذلك. And the testator fell to decide it. That is to reconcile it. Then the Almighty decided to eject that. That is a منهم from them. فرض الفرائض. And that's the reason why the law of inheritance get overlapped. So that's the reason, because some of the issues we have some of the lapses we have in terms of the execution of the testamental will. So some of the people fail to establish that is the rule, that is the will after the demise of the testator, after the demise of the person that issued the testament. And the person that received the testamental will, that is also used to get into a kind of issues like injustice or something like that. So that's the reason why the Almighty decided to reveal the ayah related to the law of inheritance so that to solve this kind of issues, which is the ayah in Surah An-Nisa. And we mentioned that ayah in Surah An-Nisa erased the ruling of that is this ayah. That is all the verse 180 of this Surah Al-Baqarah. There was one of the hadith narrated from Naam. There was one of the hadith narrated from the authority of Abi Hurairah that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْغَجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٌ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. A man can continue to perform, that is the actions, or a woman can continue to perform the actions based on the obedience to the Almighty. 16 sana for around 60 years, a person would continue to perform righteous deeds. He would continue to perform righteous deeds for 60 years. ثم يحضرهما الموت. Then momentarily the death would approach them. فيضاران في الوصية, and they would harm others through issuing the testamental will. فتجب لهما النار. And then they would be qualified to enter the hellfire. Why? Because they have the inheritance, You know, in some of the Jahiliya era, a person when he is about to die, he may end up saying that you should not give my wealth to this person. That is, he would mention the name of his child. So if you say that your wealth should not be given to one of your children, just because you are having quarreling with him, so that is not accepted. Because whether you say it or you did not say it, he is qualified to receive his inheritance share because you already born him. That is, he is already. That is, he was born by you. That is, by you. You already reproduce him through sexual reproduction, so he is qualified to receive his inheritance share. You get the logic? Yes. So that's one of the issues related to this eye. So when Abi Huraira mentioned the statement of the Rasulullah related to this, then Abi Huraira decided to recite that ayah in Surah An-Nisa, min ba'di wasiyatin yusi biha awdain ghayra mudarr, aba'ukum wa abna'akum, up to the end of the ayah. So up to the saying of the Almighty ghayra mudarr. So what this ayah was explaining is that the law of inheritance decided to solve the issue of that is the inheritance share. So that's why some of the ulama, when they are giving a kind of analysis with this hadith, they used to like consider a person that make that particular judgment while issuing his testament as a person of the hellfire. But no, you have to refer back to that is the ayah. You have to attach the hadith with the ayah. You will be able to understand that it was already mentioned. Thereby, that is before the revelation of that ayah in Surah An-Nisa. So it would mean that the rule would get, that is rectified, for example, and the statement that was mentioned also in the hadith also. So I hope you get the point that I'm trying to emphasize here. So even though the hadith was a kind of grave, but the hadith was hasan, some of the righteous predecessors, they considered the hadith as authentic also. That hadith was narrated by Abi Dawood in his Sunan. Also Imam Tirmidhi narrated that hadith. Also Imam Ahmad narrated the hadith in his Musnad. Also Ibn Majah narrated the hadith in his Sunan. But the way of the narration, the literal statement that was mentioned by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and that of Ibn Majah differs with the narration of Abi Dawood and that of Imam Tirmidhi. Because the literal statement that was mentioned from the riwayah of Imam Ahmad was the statement which mentioned that إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ, a person may perform, that is, a person would continue to perform the actions of the people of goodness. سَبَئِينَ سَنَى, for 70 years. You see, the statement differs with the previous statement. That is, the former statement was from the riwayah of Abi Dawood and the river of Imam Tirmidhi, while this one was the statement which was narrated by Imam Ahmad and also Ibn Majah. So that was the river of Imam Ahmad mentioned that the Rasulullah said the same was from the authority of Abi Hurairah, that inna rajula la ya'malu bi amali ahli al-khayr, that a man would continue to perform, that is, a man would perform the actions similar to the actions of the people of goodness, Sabaina Sama, for the whole 70 years, that is, for 70 years. Fa'idha awsa hafa fi wasiyatihi. But when he get to the issue of testamental will, when he is about to give the testamental will, that is the testament, the will that he is supposed to issue, then at that moment, half fi wasiyatihi, he would get inclined in that testament. Meaning he would, that is, get into, that is a kind of condition of being biased. Being biased, he would be injustable in that فيكتب له بشمر أمله فيدخل النار. And he would die with the evil that's on the evil of his action at that moment, and he would enter into the lakat fire. And also, إن الرجل لا يعمل بأمل أهل الشهوة. A man would perform the actions similar to the actions of the people of the hellfire. That is similar to the actions of أهل الشهوة, the people of evil. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said 70 سنة for 70 years فيعدل في وصيته, but he will be justified. He will be equitable. Equitable in his testament. That is in his wasiyah. He will be cursed to a good testament and will. فيكتم له بخير أمل. And he will die in that is based on the good action of his فَيَدَكُلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and that qualifies him to get into the heaven, that is to get into the paradise. And then Abu Huraira decided to recite that is that ayah, but the Dua says that Abu Huraira said, if you wish you can recite this ayah, تِلْكَ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. So if you look, this riwaya that I mentioned differs with the riwaya that was mentioned by Imam al-Baghawi. Imam al-Baghawi, indeed, he narrated the riwaya from that of Abi Dawud and that of Imam al-Tirmidhi. So, and that's the reason why Imam al-Tirmidhi by himself, he considered the hadith as Hassan al-Gharib. And also, according to the Muhakkikin, they verified and authenticated the hadith and they considered the hadith as authentic. So, but despite the hadith was gharib because the narration differs with the common narration that is in regards to similar hadith. So, as for the hadith, as I mentioned that Abi Dawud narrated the hadith, he narrated the hadith in the Bab al-Wasaya. Baba fi al-Wasaya, that is Kitab al-Wasaya, and that is under the subtitle that was talking about al-Hayh fi al-Wasiya. And also Imam al-Tirmidhi narrated that also fi Kitab al-Wasaya, and also in the subtopic that is discussing about Babu Maja'a fi al-Wasiya. The chapter that is the subtopic that is talking about giving recommendational testament by one third. That is one third of the wealth. That is due to the hadith of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas consulted the Rasulullah by saying, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a wealthy person and I'm not having any person to inherit my wealth except my daughter. So أتصدقوا بثلثي مالي, he said to the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, should I donate two-thirds of my wealth? The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, you should not do it because that amount of money is huge. He said, فشطري يا رسول الله, in one of the riwayah, أتصدقوا بشطره, should I, that is give, that is the donation with the half of it. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the half is much more, that is a much amount of money. Then he said, فَالثُّلُثُ يَا رَسُولُهُ, how about one third? In one of the riwayah, أَفَأَتَصَدَّقُ بِثُلُثِهِ, should I donate one third of it? That is one over three of it. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَالثُّلُثُ وَالثُّلُثُ كَثِيرٌ, one third, it is much. So in that, the Rasulullah ﷺ affirmed that to him, but even that he is realizing that one third is much. It's not supposed to be the exact amount to give the donation. It must be less than that. It's supposed to be less than one third. So Allah understand. So if you are going to give wasiyah to do any act of charity from your wealth before you die, so let it be not more than one third of your wealth. Because anything beyond that would serve as injustice, as a bias. Because you would harm your family, because your family, the Rasulullah Sallallahu informed Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas that you should, that is, leave your family in the condition of being wealthy than allowing them to live in the condition of poverty. Because with that, they would be begging people, يَتَخَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ, يتكففون الناس بالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم سيد بأن تذر ورثتك أغنياء خير لك أن تذرهم آلة يتكففون الناس. For you to leave your family in the condition of being wealthy is better than for you to leave them in the condition where they will be dwindling with poverty. Because they will be begging people, they will start to beg people to be pushing their hands, raising their hands to the people in order for the people to assist them. So in that case, it's better for you to leave them as rich than leaving them as poor. So that's the hikmah on the judgment that you should not give out more than one third as an act of charity when you are about to die. But in your normal time, you have the, that is the right to do it. But if you are about to die, that is another perspective in that. And also, the hadith was narrated by Ibn Majah also in the Kitab al-Wasaya. Also, Ibn Majah narrated that hadith under the subtopic that is Bab al-Haifu fil Wasiyah. Also, Imam Ahmad, as I mentioned, he narrated that hadith in his Musnad also. And also, as for Sheikh Ahmad Shaikh, he verified that this hadith was authentic hadith, that is not the isnad of the hadith, the chain of the transmission is an authentic, that is chain of transmission. And Ibn Majah, as I mentioned earlier, he also narrated that is derived similar to the narration of Imam Ahmad. So I think due to the time limitation, we would stop here. So we would proceed to the next ayah, that is verse 184. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه لغفور رحيم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا واصلح الله ولاة أمورنا بما تحب وترضى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.